Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are, in a general sense, seeking freedom from the suffering of samsara or cyclical existence, both the general suffering as well as the particular sufferings of three bad migrations in samsara. And related to that, you know, we are also seeking freedom from the causes of suffering in samsara, which are basically two: deluded states of mind or delusions, and contaminated karmic actions. Now, beyond this kind of freedom, I think what we are really ultimately trying to accomplish is complete enlightened state called Buddhahood as our ultimate goal.
Oh, na tati ani ta ye la bakare sa ngaran so te wen ta demba demba ye ta ani demba ni ta o tende gele ani ta ye demba ni ta de demba de gele de demba ye demba ni bo te ta ani tsawan de chag re.
What is important to accomplish these spiritual goals that we have laid out just now is to understand the Four Noble Truths, or the True Truths. It's very important for us to understand the concepts of Four Noble Truths, or the two
truths. Oh, that the pen, ane lamring kanal, that lamring kanal, ane shape sunche lamche rambat ta. Ye demba ye shita, ane demba ni shina dosi ni pa, ane dosi ni namja ke thon heye theories.
In the lamrim treatises, lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of the path. What we find in lamrim treatises is explanation of the practices of three types of beings, spiritual beings or practitioners called initial level practitioner or practice, initial level practice, intermediate level practice, and advanced level practice. These practices of the three beings or the practitioners are presented within the structure of, if you will, the Four Noble Truths. Or the two truths.
No,
most of you already know that very recently His Holiness the Dalai Lama gave teachings on the great Lamrim Chemo in the Penn State, and where he explained how all the structures of the path laid out in the Lamrim could be incorporated within, or they are included within the Four Noble Truths or the Two Truths. Of the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering or true suffering is very much emphasized, if you will, and explained in the context of initial level
practice.
Just to explain a little bit more about what is contained in the practice of initial level practitioner, or sometimes we might translate literally as a small level practice, practice kibuchung, are the appreciation of preciousness of human life, how the life that is human life that's characterized by freedoms and enriching factors is very precious and meaningful. Nonetheless, it is very transient and very impermanent, and all of these important things related to the initial level practice are explained with reference to the truth of suffering. And when Buddha first taught about Four Noble Truths, he first said we should know what true suffering is, what the truth of suffering is. Dunghe Shebracha, God to know what suffering is, true suffering is.
That Dunghe Shebracha song at the so the that Dunghe Gnani, the Chaban to Zig Dunghe, the Shebracha was gone. Dunghe Dunghe Tang, Tangana, the Jewish Dunghe Tangarazo, that's how good thing, Nani at the Dunghe Dunghe Tangarazo.
When our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha first pronounced one should know the truth of suffering or true suffering, what he was really telling us is this, that there are all different kinds of suffering, and we could include them in three types of suffering: suffering of misery, suffering of change, and pervasive suffering or extensive suffering. Now, we all have quite a good understanding, perhaps, of suffering or misery. But we may have a little bit of an understanding or experience with regard to suffering of change. What we probably don't know at all is what is called pervasive suffering, or Khyabat Duje Gidunge in Tibetan, extensive suffering. So when Buddha said first that we should know the truth of suffering, he was really more of a sense emphasizing on the fact that we have to understand all of these three types of suffering, and more, and particularly the pervasive suffering. Buddha made it very clear that ordinary people like us, just like childless sentient beings, we really don't know pervasive suffering. And he gives this example of it's just like you know, a child, you know, who has got this you know, if you will, like a tiny particle of hair on the palm of his hand, but he doesn't know it is there in the palm of his hand. So in the same way, you know, we as childish, ordinary sentient beings really don't know what this pervasive suffering is, even though this is what we have, and we have been experiencing. In order to understand and be free from, if you will, suffering of misery and suffering of change, we really don't necessarily have to cultivate what is called transcendental paths. By cultivating what we might call some higher level worldly path that is not transcendental, worldly in a sense, which are also presented in other religious traditions which are non-Buddhist, particularly if I just put in a in a bracket, it's Hinduism, we could free ourselves from suffering of misery, and to a great extent suffering of change.
So that then the shrub tangsun then the city but change city live or that khowa gan then the toshu then khowa gan nan that toshu the city live or is yena ya city dongi the thoni the thandu ko lo she that shrub al me de
Now, there are like dogs in the other room I'm sitting, so you might be hearing dogs crying or something. The Brahmins, by following the paths presented in Hinduism, they are able to understand suffering of change and the suffering of misery. And as a matter of fact, they can achieve quite a high level of, realization or state of existence, rather, called the peak of samsara, right on the top of samsara. And so that the peak of samsara is the highest level of samsara, and where a lot of ordinary sufferings really don't manifest or exist temporarily. But then, beyond that, they're not able to go. They get stuck in the peak of samsara and then drop down, from that state.
That church, yes, church, yes, that church, yes, no, 아니 뒤치 메레 짜긴지 뒤게 베 메레레 마 대요 안에 템 베 메레테 베 노시네 요디 왜냐 아니 아니 시질 쉬운도 땅 때네 아니 양에는데 공부터 요 레스카나.
So in a praise to Sakyamuni Buddha's teachings, it is stated that, so comparatively stated, I mean, by following your teachings and the path, even if, you know, metaphorically speaking, Maras or the demons are going to play their tricks and put a veil on our eyes, we could still be able to really break that or to, get rid of that veil and transcend even the peak of cycle existence, and we can, as a matter of fact, go beyond samsaric existence.
Chöje tembe jendo was dichi mere tsagi ndu sipa tale dogfishi. Chöje tembe jendo sanji chomdi ndu tembe jesundo namji ane dik mere te yogi ndu yate ane tela sizela shen thoni kwale tat thaba yobres kanando.
So followers of your system of teaching and the path are able to, you know, take off the veil, you know, put on the eyes by the demonic or the Maras, and be able to see the disadvantages or the demerits or the faults of the peak of samsara as a state of existence, and can transcend that level of existence and go beyond, meaning go beyond samsara. Maybe Geshe-la thought that two dogs in the next room to mine, you know, they must be crying. Like, we would like to be free from the suffering of samsara, so they're crying. Yes.
No much freedom, see? Kunjul tota kidam keje tota mundu rama mundu pe dunne ne de kabundu sete ke chorta.
Maybe they cry, you know, have a message for us that, you know, we don't have all kinds of rights that you people have, you know, the freedom of religion and the freedom of thought and the freedom of expression and all of that. So we are really in a difficult situation.
Oh, yeah. There's something that is that doing a shena and it till it under the loss of yours. Is that doing a shiva shiva scan? I think
it's really important the way Buddha said. He said, first we should understand or we should know a truth of suffering or true suffering. Now, that's a really important statement. Know what suffering, true suffering is. But once we really know, they really know, meaning realize what true suffering is, then we will naturally would like to be free from true suffering. Once we know what suffering is, who would like to be with suffering? So once we really truly recognize and understand and realize what true suffering is, then we would naturally would like to be free from suffering. So once we realize what true suffering is and we want to be free from suffering, we wish to be free from suffering, then the next thing that logically, I mean, seems to make sense is, you know, how can we be free?
That tele pene dungeli tabal karigusna ane taba nyangelin deba tok gobe te hako gyeres.
So if I mean, in other words, that, you know, what really comes logically to the mind is there a state called a state free of suffering? Or in other words, is there something called, we call liberation or nirvana or enlightenment, a state that is free of suffering?
So that the car is Ranjila Yupe, Leta, Nyomoni, but the Rang Le Sai, the Lame, the Nembatuzuta, Pemabazoyata, Nyomabatuzuta, Tam Mabazoyat, Gugnus and Tam.
So when we realize what true suffering is, we naturally would like to be free from suffering. And then we started to ask ourselves, I mean, can I be free from suffering? And so in the pursuit of that, then what we realize is, yes, we can. And what we really need to free ourselves from is actually delusions and contaminated karmic actions. Once we free ourselves from these causes of suffering, then we really could be free.
Tati thobal karigo gresena ta lamji temba de dela nyane she go ta lamji temba de ngoke ba jaranju de sheba she ni ta ti ani ranju ye pe ni le ta nyomo ba temba zoite ta heba she gres.
So when we realize that, okay, I can free myself from deluded states of mind and contaminant karmic actions, but then again the question is, what can really help me to do that? You know, what path or the method or practice is there, or antidotes, if you will, that I could use to counteract my deluded states of mind and contaminant karmic actions? So this is where we started to think about what is called true path, Lamji Tenpa. So we will learn about what true path is, and as we learn about it, then of course the more important thing is to cultivate true path within our own mind stream. So by way of understanding and cultivating true path, we can free ourselves from delusions and contaminated karmic actions and from the state of suffering.
Ta lamji denba te re da lamji denba te lam nen se atil ta pa shebe in ta lam nga ni tu che lam nga ranje che lam nga tu ba chim lam shigen nga shin du si te yob che gures.
So when we talk about true path, I mean, it is a generic term. It does not mean that there's only one and there's, you know, one and only one path. Actually, when we talk about true path, if we want to elaborate it, I mean, true path consists of many different kinds of path. Now, we look at the three yanas, or the vehicles within Buddhism. There is what we call hearer's vehicle or Sharvaka yan. So within that hearer's vehicle or listener's vehicle, we can talk about five paths. And then in the solitary realizer's vehicle or Pratika Buddha Yan, we can talk about five spiritual paths. And then within the Mahayan or the great vehicle, we can talk about five spiritual paths. So within each of these three vehicles of Buddhism, we can talk about a set of five paths. So total, we can talk about
15 paths.
So if you are wondering if there are that many paths and, you know, where do we all begin? You know, of course, in terms of actual practice, we really have to begin with taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha.
That thing is Shamruti. Shamruti, and that Sanjay Kumbhatva is the Mindu, and Satalam, Kandiki, and that, Tavja Tamaloka, Tend of Chagras, Saginan Chagras.
Refuge practice is really very foundation practice in order to cultivate any kind of higher level spiritual paths, to be able to cultivate any higher level paths leading to different spiritual goals. We have to start with, build a strong foundation itself, which is, you know, the practice of refuge.
So
practice of refuge consists of, you know, word expressions or recitations or readings, and also it consists of reflecting on the actual meaning of the words. I mean, the practice of refuge really it consists of both. If we use both the word expressions, words, you know, to express what refuge is, as well as you know, reflect on the meaning of those words.
That then that kare that kane shambu tsinge chranzu ngazu kanga hakongu arvas tepena tere. That then that kare desa na ane rani kota ngazu kudungeli.
So I think most of you know, I mean, the refuge practice at the level of words. You know, we know what words we could use to express our refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. For example, like I go for refuge in Buddha and so on. But what do these words really actually mean? What does refuge practice actually mean is that we as refuge practitioners cultivate a sense of fear with regard to the suffering of samsara, and then we develop this trust in the abilities of the three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, to help us to be free from the suffering.
So there
are these two essential causes of refuge, which are very important as a part of, if you will, the meaning, meaning level of the refuge practice, which is the sense of fear based upon understanding the suffering nature of samsara and this complete trust in the abilities of the three jewels to help us to be free from samsara.
Of course,
refuge practice is the very foundation practice, and without which we cannot develop any other higher level paths. But that being said, refuge practice alone is not enough. Now, additionally, we need to, you know, practice ethics or observe codes of ethics.
That's the number of songs say at the Maranzo, Rajung Gusunya, the Chimbak Gusunya, and Rimendo and the was.
So when we talk about codes of ethics, or what we might simply call Shila practice or ethical practice, morality practice, again, it consists of many different levels and kinds. We can talk about ethics which are related with monastic ordination. So, you know, the ethics which are exclusive to monks and nuns. And then there are ethics which are related to lay practitioners. And so there are all different levels of ethics. Ethics which are, you know, talked about with regard to lay practitioners, those ethics are related to what we call refraining from actions which are negative by way of their very nature, entities.
We
talk about different types of negativity. You know, a certain action is negative because of the very nature of action. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of actions. For example, there are certain actions if anybody, especially lay people, or anybody who engage in those actions, because of the very nature of actions, you know, those are considered as unwholesome or negative actions.
Remember
that we often talk about the 10 negative actions of body, spirit, and mind that we must not do. There are the 3 negative actions of the body, or 3 physical negative actions, such as killing. Killing by very nature is a negative action. Doesn't matter who does it. Also there are 4 negativities of the speech, such as lying. Lying, you know, in and of itself, from its very nature, is a negative action. So is covetousness, coveting for others' goods, which is one of the 3 negativities of the mind. So if we indulge in any of these 10 negativities of body, spirit, and mind, the very nature of the actions make what we do negative and unwholesome.
That may give a chuba to heal a shuna, Rangi Kanamatawa, the pure pomba yina, that gave a chagu.
So if we indulge in any of these 10 negativities of body, spirit, and mind, then of course we are creating bad karmas and negative karmas. It's not because somebody said, if you do those things, you are breaking the rules and regulations. No, it doesn't matter. You know, the rules, we are not talking about breaking rules and regulations. We say simply by doing such actions, the very nature of the actions make what we do negative and unwholesome. But on the other hand, if we do not engage in those actions, or do the opposite of those actions, then we are engaging in positive actions.
Tā kēpē kāna mā tōwās, rādhu shūngwā nālā, anē kēpē tīm tī, anē yidhī lē, anē chīmbā hiyūgu yinā, tā kāna yinā kārsī, nā chīmbā lā tā nīpā mēpā rā, yinā tā rādhu shūngwā tīm tsūkē, rāngīchī kāna mā tōwā, kēpē kāna mā tōwā, tā nīkā pāngu.
And then there are certain actions which become negative, you know, because one has promised to keep those actions, you know, and these are called, we call chebe khana madhava. You know, so we do certain action, it becomes only negative because, you know, we had promised or pledged not to break that rules or not to break those vows. Okay. So and the monastic vows or the ethics are most related to the, such actions. So monks and nuns, you know, they have taken so many ethics, and which are basically, if you will, rules or regulations laid out by the Buddha. And so if you break them, then you are creating negative actions, and those actions are negative because you are violating or breaking or transgressing those rules and regulations you said you would pledge to keep in the presence of Buddha. But lay people who have not taken monastic ordinations, for them, you know, indulging in such actions do not necessarily become negative because they did not say, I'm going to keep them. You know, those things, there are those ethics which do not relate to them. So in the case of monks and nuns or monastic practitioners, not only do they need to avoid engaging in actions which become negative by way of their very nature, such as the 10 negative actions of body, spirit, and mind. Additionally, they really need to observe the course of ethics, the monastic ethics that they had pledged to keep. So those are the different levels of ethics that we need to understand.
That's Sandra Domba Gutola, and that Domba Nishina, Biba Kim, Sajjani the Ranga, Biba Kim, Mizakins. Biba Kandiki and the Chichun Kandiki and Tan Majis. Go on, not so much your drips, go on, Ade, Domba Kim, go on, go on, Biba Kim, go on, Punsu Toba drips. The Ranga same to you, do you have to worry? And this Sanjay Temba is that the Rajunta Shubat Samalo Jivaris.
So if we summarize precepts, which in another way, form of saying the ethics, course of ethics, related with practice of refuge, Buddha himself put it in a very simply in this way, tepachiya mitashi. So in short, do not accumulate any kind of negativity, he said. So any meaning, not big, not small, not middle, not at all. Do not do any negativity. Tepachiya mitashi. Accumulate. Kewa pisum sabache. Accumulate wealth of virtue. So means we should do any kind of virtue. It can be very insignificant virtue or positive action, or it could be high level virtue or whatever. Here, accumulate the wealth of virtue. Rangi semne yonsutu. Completely tame one's own mind. Now that's very important. Completely discipline, tame one's own mind. Dine sangye tambayin. This is the teaching of Buddha. Okay. Now this, what has been said in this particular verse by Buddha, it applies to both lay and monastic practitioners.
So, sa maranzu chamala ta shiso ko na debi zani ta rang sim ter takche shi ma to me yin shian takche shi jo maranz.
We live in communities and human society. So we live in a sense in among people and you know, in crowds. So what is really important for us to do is always look at our own mind. It is not our business to look at what other people are thinking or what their mind is doing. That is their business. Keshe-la didn't say that, but to make the message clear. But what is our business is to look at one's own mind. What is my mind doing? Because we live in communities and in societies.
So,
now, why must we not, you know, make it our business to look into what other people are doing or thinking? The reason is that if we do that, you see, even if other people are not doing anything negative or not necessarily doing something wrong, but we ourselves might start to see things, you know, false in other people. So it always, if we poke our nose into others' business, we started to find something to that we think other people are not doing right. We also have to keep this in mind that when we started to poke our nose into others' business, what could also happen is that our own negativity could be reflected in others, and what we are really seeing in others is not so much what they are doing something right or wrong, but it's the reflection of our own negativity. So we started to see our negativities projected onto others, and then we see the reflection back. And now we think these other people are not doing things right, or they are doing something negative. So what antidote can we use, like, to stop finding faults in others or seeing faults in others, rather, is that we should cultivate this sense of appreciation. You know, start to appreciate and rejoice in the good things that other people are doing. So this sense of appreciation, appreciating goodness in others, is a good antidote to stop finding faults in others.
As much
as we want happiness, peace, and the best of everything, so do all other sentient beings. All others, meaning literally, with disregard, regardless of their relationship with us. They could be our friends, they could be strangers, they could be enemies, but everybody wants peace, happiness, and the best of everything. So as much as we have the right to pursue our peace, happiness, and best of everything, so do other people and sentient beings. They have the right to pursue their peace, happiness, and best of everything. So as much as we and others are seeking peace, happiness, the best of everything, but the fact of the matter is, things are not working out in our lives. You know, we run into so many troubles and problems and headaches and all of those things. But basically, all these problems we face in our life is not so much that other people are throwing them at us, but it's because of our own self-cherishing attitude, self-centeredness, wrong-changing, selfishness is the real culprit. It is the source of all the problems of our life.
That the one ground that Dunghina Bujin Jungu, the Nike Reskan.
As it is very simply and profoundly put in Guru Puja, or what we call Lama Cheba, devotional prayer to the gurus. Self-cherishing attitude is like a chronic disease. If we are suffering from a chronic disease, then all the sufferings that we feel, we know, is related to that disease. And we will blame it for the miseries of our life. In the same way, all the miseries and problems we face in our life are because of this chronic disease-like self-centeredness, self-cherishing attitude.
So that is in those journey. Rang kebran tenzi dipa yawar tau ne, yen kebran zimba yena, tati rang la gwebe ring dhasun juwaya ta juchhangu.
So just as a chronic disease is the source of all undesirable, outcomes, miseries in life and discomforts and all of that, in the same way, self-cherishing attitude is the source of our problems and discomforts in life. But we can do something about it. You know, self-cherishing attitude is something that we can get rid of. And the way to do that is to cultivate the attitude of cherishing others. So which is the source of real, comfort and happiness and goodness. So by way of cherishing others, we are able to let go of selfishness. And, on the one hand, we characterize self-cherishing attitude as like a chronic disease, the source of all undesirable outcomes. On the other hand, we categorize cherishing others, as the treasure of benefits. But now, somebody might think that how could it be a treasure of benefits? But there's really no need to entertain doubt so much in this case. Now, let me explain. So what I just said is this, that cherishing others is like a treasure of benefits. And just to substantiate my statement of the point, let me refer to this profound stanza again in Lama Cheba or Guru Puja. And where it says simply, he said, in short, just simply look at us childlike, ordinary sentient beings. What we have been thinking and what we have been doing all this time is nothing but, self-centered things. We only think about nobody else, just rangden, just my own self-interest. Rangden kona. The word is powerful to say. Rangden kona means you don't think about anything else, just yourself. That's it. Okay? So that's what we childlike, ordinary sentient beings have been doing. Whereas, when we look at enlightened beings such as Shakyamuni Buddha, what have they been thinking and doing is the Buddhas do think about and do about nothing else but for the benefit of other sentient beings. They only care about what can they do for others. Okay? That's their way of thinking and what they do. So because of this difference, you know, we should be able to understand now the faults or the disadvantages of simply focusing on one's own selfish motives, and the benefits and the advantages of cherishing other sentient beings, just like Buddhas did and they do. And by way of doing these things, then the sentence that may we be able to exchange self for others, be able to cherish others more than ourselves. Now, the explanation given on, my more explanation given on this is that because we, as childish sentient beings, I only care about nobody else but my own selfish motives and interests, then in the pursuit of my own what I think is, will make me happy, you know, we indulge in many negative karmic actions. And these negative karmic actions, you know, bring us and get us stuck in samsara, and that's how we go in round and round and round and round in samsara with all the problems and headache, you know, misery experiences. Whereas Buddhas and enlightened beings have let go selfishness and instead cultivated the attitude of cherishing others, and they have always cared about nobody else but all other sentient beings. They have always benefited them. They have never hurt them, sentient beings. As a result, where are they? They are in the enlightened state completely. Yeah. So simply looking at the difference between us childish sentient beings and enlightened beings, we should be able to figure it out. You know, the need to let go self-centeredness and cultivate cherishing attitudes to and for others.
So that the lesson is that, ne gihila ro thamba ke, ta sengi jin rang le jin be sengi kanda ki gina ya, zo chama lo le te, ta rang ta indish gina tenzo le, jaka ke ta andir karse, chonga rang gihilens, jaka jin le bu gurisong ate, ta ne chimbu chi chadi yores.
One of the great Kadamba Geshe's by the name of Geshe Langri Thangpa, in his 8 verses Lojong, Mind Training or Thought Transformation, very simply and powerfully states, may I be able to give all the benefits and victory to other sentient beings. May I be able to accept all the defeat and loss to myself. So this way of thinking that he has cultivated is very much related to what I just explained, cherishing others more than the self and letting go self-centeredness.
So that ngaran so sanjil deva chidi san sanjil kemde der deva chidi san ngaran chama lo re re tönde ngaran so re re tönde ya ane kule mangbo hibi chöne nima ki ni tanda wa ki lo ki ni mai pe pe ke iyo ni ka ve ne ka ba chen du sen ne kule chöne ro se sa tenzu san tang ne
So thinking along this line and especially reflecting on to, what Buddhas such as Shakyamuni Buddha did for us sentient beings, not for a certain limited period of time, like you know, few weeks or few months or few years or one lifetime or something. As a matter of fact, Buddha went through so much, challenges and difficulties for, you know, long, long time in order to benefit each and every sentient beings. And so that's what they succeeded in achieving their goal. And by understanding that, we're able to appreciate enlightened qualities and Buddhas more.
Sengi tangi kutun tindin na yujirati, ina ngi tanda do tindin na ayu na samni tesun sakundun sa juya maras, te rang ti sengi tangi kun zundu guris.
So Buddhas or enlightened beings have always thought about and dedicated themselves for sentient beings. And then we might kind of think like, oh yeah, that's what they have done. But really, what did they do, you know, for me? You know, well, if Buddhas worked for sentient beings, and if that's the premise we accept, without us as a part of sentient beings, their sentient beings would be incomplete. So I, as an individual person, is included in that, is a very much part of sentient beings that Buddha really cared about and dedicated themselves, you know, to benefit us.
최 장박 된다. 최 장박 때니 든지 말해서. 또 권리 망보 전에 권리인지 배신받 땅에 빼나 땅몰라 아니 그런 권리 좀 받아 한다. 안다가 나 이냐가 세월라니 생기 배 로준이지 받을 먹이지. 또 자가 쇼기래 아니 먹이 심부 존재. 아니 그런 거 아니 배 말은지 또지 이냐친 부질 다 세월 이해니 아 군주 배 야숑에다 근데 다 최다 상승이게 관다 배 Given the coverage, I have some of the attention now.
So, when we Buddha said, when we say that Shakyamuni Buddha has been extremely kind to us, you know, sentient beings, we don't simply mean that Buddha has been kind to us because he has given us the teachings, spiritual teachings. Okay, that's perhaps the most important reason. But Buddha has benefited sentient beings in many other ways as well. So when we look at the life stories of Buddhas, you know, for example, you know, there's this story about how Buddha, in one of his previous lifetimes, saw a tigress with her cubs, you know, dying of starvation, and then basically this young prince, you know, he cut, you know, himself, you know, his, you know, he made a slit on his body, and then he basically fed the hungry tigress and the cubs, and you know, benefited them. Or there's this story of Buddha, you know, once upon a time, you know, came as this gigantic fish, and the reason behind that was in that particular Indian locality in ancient time, there was a starvation going for a long time, years and years. And so Buddha knew that, so he purposely came to the shore as this gigantic fish, so that the local people could feed on him. Okay, and then benefited him. So Buddha sacrificed his own bodies, if you will, for the benefit of sentient beings. It's not simply like, you know, Buddha sit on a high throne and give some teachings, and that's all he does. Buddha did not say exactly that, but try to make the point. Buddha's kindness is, you know, not simply limited to giving teachings to us, but it is done in many other ways. You know, sacrificing his body, sacrificing his family members, and, you know, and many other ways.
Buddha
pursued his path and goal for eons with tremendous amount of determination, the kind of determination that is, presented in, for example, Guru Puja, where we said, even for the sake of one particular sentient being, should I need to stay in the most torturous hell called Avicii hell and get burned in the fire of that hell, that my body and the flames of the fire become indistinguishable, just to benefit one particular sentient being, I am going to do it. Let it be. So, with that kind of a determination, Buddha worked for so long, and therefore he had a success in achieving his goal and benefited us in many ways.
Jitra meba, and it's a Nijibu wonky. The singing kick turned their attention in the theater, and Nijibu wonky's number is.
So that kind of determination has to really come from infinite sense of compassion, where he says, even if for the sake of one particular sentient being, should I need to be in the most torturous Avicii hell and get burned there, may I never let go my compassion for the sentient beings and be able to withstand it, you know. So that sense of compassion, not like a very limited and fuzzy kind of compassion, very solid ground compassion is what Buddha cultivated, and that's what really contributed to his success.
So,
in other words, you know, Buddha understood the power of great love, great compassion, altruism, or bodhicitta, and he invested all his energy in cultivating them and trusted the power of these, you know, positive attitudes. And so when he succeeded in cultivating them, they gave him so much strength and determination that he was able to become a complete enlightened being for the benefit of sentient beings. So because of all these reasons, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, often in his teachings, he would emphasize, you know, the need to cultivate great love, maha maitri, great compassion, maha karuna, altruism, bodhicitta, because these are the attitudes that we really need to invoke and invest in, and we should kind of, if you will, use the strength and the resources of these attitudes to become a Buddha for the benefit of sentient beings.
Rank any sentient yin ta rank any lunga dang thali ke phen ta thuk du na ta phen ta mun du na ne ba cha ni ma she ta suk khang le rank lu ta nga de ne ba ma she lunga yi su ne ba ma she de ta wa kan ngwe ta ke chen ban da.
And His Holiness has this, you know, amazing way of putting the, you know, the essence of the teaching, in a very simple and straightforward way. He says, you know what, those are the things that we must all invest our energies in, cultivating great love, great compassion, altruism, and all that. And he said, you know, if we don't have them, or we are not able to, you know, have them right now and translate them into action, which means even if we are not able to help others, given whatever conditions we are in, at least what we could do is don't hurt them. So even if we couldn't benefit others, but we must not hurt them or we must not harm them. So in order to become a Buddha, complete enlightened being, we must cultivate great compassion. There is no other way around it. And this has been made clear by Maitreya, Buddha, in his ornament for Mahayana Sutras called Mahayana Sutra Alamkara Dodekyen, where he said, as Geshe-la quoted the line from his memory, the root for that, meaning complete enlightenment, is great compassion. Compassion and anger are antithesis of each other. If we have compassion for others or sentient beings, then we will not get angry with them. If we do get angry with them, then at least in that particular moment, we don't have compassion for them. And if we have, you know, we love sentient beings, we love others, then we are not going to be jealous of them. When others are doing good and when they are really succeeding, we all the more wish them more successes. We are really happy. That's what we want them to be. We want them to be happy, and we want them to succeed. And sentient beings are able to do that on their own. So we have all the more reason to be happy and to wish them more happiness and successes. So now I hope you get a sense of how the importance of great love and compassion here, that with compassion, you know, we are able to stop getting angry with others. With love, we are able to stop being jealous and envious of others' happiness and success. So we will stop there today. I have a prayer request for three people who have passed away. I hope I got the names right and I'm saying it right. Or at least, you know, you can send your thoughts and prayer for them. Emmett Gusto, Marvin Glenn DeWitt, Sherab Lithangpa. So these three people have, the names have been given and prayers are requested for them.
Shadong Kolo Jeve, Jabotom,
Of course, we just got only three names here, but we know that you know, many sentient beings have also passed away about the same time, or you know, and so it's very important for us to think about sentient beings who have passed away and wish them, you know, best of everything, including may they be able to, you know, achieve good rebirths and meet with qualified spiritual masters and come under the care and guidance of these masters. May they be able to meet with, you know, spiritual teachings and be able, opportunities to practice Dharma. And through these processes, may they be able to free themselves from the state of suffering and achieve spiritual realizations. Whatever merits that we have accumulated together this morning, coming together here and participating in the teaching, we dedicate it for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective positive energy or merits for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers or two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened states quickly.
Oh,
Today is, I think, talk day, and those who have talk commitment, we will take a 10 to 15 minutes break, and then we are going to resume talk offering so that you don't have to drive back again in the evening. So those who have a talk commitment, you can stay, take a 5-10-15 minute break or help set up the table, everything, and then do the talk with Kishila.
And those
who don't have the talk commitment, you know, you really don't need to be, you know, stay and participate in the talk offering, because as a matter of fact, you know, I think you don't have to be at the talk offering.
Okay.
Announcements?
Yeah. Okay.
Just a couple other announcements. We're going to have the 24-hour Mahayana precepts next Sunday, so people will start at 5 o'clock tomorrow, next Sunday morning, if people want to do the Mahayana precepts with us. And also, it'll be a children's class, so if people want to bring their children, we'll have a class starting at 10:30 as well. And then also, and Geshe-la will resume his Lamrim class on Wednesday evenings at 7:30, starting this Wednesday. And lastly, don't forget Monday, tomorrow night, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Damdo will be speaking about the dialectic school in Dharamsala. He's a translator. He's been a translator for the Dalai Lama as well, and he'll be here tomorrow at 7:30.
Okay. The school there is so how to make arrange school, and you know, you will know Tibetan general schools, and also individually study young men and leading, and also ordained people. By Dharamsala study, both like the academic study they have. So he will explanation of that. So, there is like the high at least sun. Almost like 10 years now study in that school. So also there is many almost like international schools, very nice. I do lots of sponsors for the teacher team of Tibetans, and also I did many times there, also good relation with me also. So he will be here, so if you come to talk, his talk will be nice. Thank you.